Good morning, Charlottesville. Welcome to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie, and we're glad that you're tuning in to News Radio 1070 WINA. Don't forget that you can also listen to us live by going to WINA.com and click on the Listen Live button. We are streaming live all over the world now, and I'm sure there are people from all over the world that tune in on 10 o'clock on Saturday mornings here in Charlottesville. But as I always say, this show is about real estate. It's named Real Estate Matters for a couple reasons. One, because I'm a big fan of Dave Ramsey's Money Matters show, and that's kind of where I got my idea. But I also realize that real estate has a lot to do with lots of different things that go on in our community on a regular basis, and therefore the name Real Estate Matters. And we're glad you're here this morning. You want to visit us on Facebook, we're at facebook.com/realestatematters. And we post the podcast there and post comments and things like that. So if you want to follow us there, that'd be great. Or you can just go to WINA.com and click on podcast, go to Real Estate Matters, and you can find an archive of all the shows from the last several months. And we appreciate you being involved with us and helping us grow in regards to the people that are listening in on a regular basis. Today's show is no different. I have the pleasure of having Scott Bruner, who's the VAR, the Virginia Association of Realtors Chief Executive Officer. Scott has been at VAR for, I think, about 11 years, if I'm not mistaken. And I've asked him to come on the show to talk about some things that are pertinent to what's been going on in Washington over the last few weeks. But also just consumer advocacy. A lot of folks don't realize how much realtors do in the way of promoting things that are important to the homeowner, to the person who's renting a property. Anything that has to do with real estate, we try to be an advocate because that's obviously what our business is. And Scott, I'm really grateful that you've taken the time to join me this morning.
Well, thank you, Michael, for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Hope you had a great vacation.
I did.
Good, good, good. Well, Scott, I, as I shared before we came on the show, there are a number of different things I'd like to talk about. And why don't you just kind of give us an overview of you, sort of the mission statement for the Virginia Association of Realtors so the listeners know that it's not just about realtors, but it's about the consumer as well.
Absolutely. The Virginia Association of Realtors is a not-for-profit trade association. We're a business trade association, and our members are the 29,000 realtors across the Commonwealth of Virginia. One point that consumers often don't know is that you can be a real estate licensee without being a realtor. But when you join the realtor organization, when a real estate licensee subscribes to our code of ethics, pays dues to the organization, then they earn the right to use that trademark term, realtor. So we're a professional organization. We look to enhance the competence and professionalism of our members, whereas the Commonwealth of Virginia, through the Real Estate Board, the regulatory agency, is actually the state entity that regulates real estate licensees. So our members are active in all phases of brokerage, development, property management, and appraisal. We have 28 local associations of realtors across the state that are active in improving the quality of life in those communities across Virginia. And we really are an entity that focuses on three things. We do legislative and political advocacy on behalf of Virginia property owners and prospective property owners, as well as our members. We provide information services to Virginia realtors to assure that they are on the cutting edge of trends and developments in real estate, transactions, land use, et cetera. And then we do training and education for our members, and we offer a variety of courses on a variety of topics related to the real estate transaction, and particularly lately, that's really been more pertinent to our members as we've gone through this really terrible economic downturn, and the complexion of real estate transactions has changed in the sense that we're seeing more foreclosures and short sales and all sorts of things that 5 years ago we weren't dealing with. So the education component of the Virginia Association of Realtors is something that we provide our members and that we believe is a valuable tool for them in helping them serve consumers better.
You know, it's interesting, Scott. I'm going to break in for a minute. You're always so kind in the fact that you didn't correct me in the fact that You served for 11 years with the Mississippi Association of Realtors, and you became the CEO at VAR in 2005.
Yeah, I had my 6th anniversary yesterday, but I wasn't gonna correct you.
No, and I appreciate it, but I should have known that, because if you remember, one of the first meetings that you came to after having taken over, you came to Charlottesville, to the Charlottesville Area Association of Realtors at the Jumbletree Hotel, and it was my first meeting after having left Northern Virginia to come down and become the CEO of Roy Wheeler. So I guess both of us could probably take some of the blame for the fact that the real estate market has never been the same since both of us took these positions.
Things started downhill after that. I hope we didn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the challenges that we've faced in the last 6 years or so are pretty extraordinary. And just to kind of add on to what you were talking about, and having been involved with you over the last 6 years, the commitment to professionalism. I know that the Virginia Real Estate Board, like you said, is involved in the regulatory aspect of the realtors, but you all at VAR make it serious. And again, across the state, the 28 associations, we really want to be seen as a professional industry. And the things that have happened in the last 6 years has brought that even more to the case. And I think it's important for the listeners for you to talk just a little bit about how we've really focused in on trying to cause our realtors to be as professional and as ethical as possible, because when things are crazy and challenging like they are right now, it's very easy for people to be upset on one side or the other.
Right, right. And just to be clear, when you join the realtor organization, you subscribe to what is the strictest professional code of conduct in America. It's a higher standard than that of accountants or attorneys or any other professional group. And the Realtor Code of Ethics is actually a sort of the guiding document for realtors that spells out how they treat their customers and clients, how they treat one another, and certainly how they abide by state and national law and transactions. So we do rigorous training of our members. They have to have an ongoing ethics education requirement that they have to achieve every couple of years. And it is a significant part of what we do. Consumers obviously are best served by realtors who know what they're doing and who are ethical in their business practices.
Now, I'm going to maybe throw a curveball. I don't think so, but you and I, when I first came, I was on a task force that the Virginia Association of Realtors worked very hard on, and this is the Virginia Homeowners Alliance.
Yeah.
And this was something that was set up for the consumers. And I'd like for you to talk a little bit about that and how people can get that information, because there is a website that they can go to, and we didn't really talk about it, but I feel very strongly about it. I know we haven't gotten the sort of the tipping point aspect to it as that we would have liked, as far as many people going to that site, but it is an excellent site for people to keep current, not only on what's going around the state, but also at their local level.
Yeah, about 3 or 4 years ago, the Virginia Association of Realtors did some consumer research, and what we learned from consumers was that, or from property owners, actually homeowners, was that they felt like that there was not an entity out there that spoke for them. Now, despite the fact that the realtor organization has been lobbying for property owners and land use and property rights for a number of years, the sense among Virginia property owners was that they did not have an entity that represented their interests. The sense was that the realtor organization represented realtors, represented pocketbook issues for realtors. And so that was a bit of a surprise to us, because so much of our legislative agenda is focused on consumers. We believe that if consumers are well served, if the quality of life in Virginia communities is improved, then realtors naturally make money. What that research helped us do was to create the Virginia Homeowners Alliance, an entity that is intended to educate and inform Virginia property owners about issues related to property ownership, political issues, legislations, county and city ordinances that would impact their ownership of property. So if there's a piece of legislation in the General Assembly that would affect the ability of you to sell your home or the ability of your home to appreciate in value, we have used the Virginia Homeowners Alliance as a sort of a conduit to make sure consumers are aware of those issues so that they know that there's something going on that affects their ownership and the ability of that piece of property to appreciate in value. It is a group that we have promoted through our members at the closing table, and quite a few Virginia realtors actually sign up their customers and clients there at the closing table. And we have a website, www.vahomeownersalliance.com. And if you go there, you'll find plenty of information about your local community and local news related to development and property ownership and that sort of thing. The website right now is in a bit of a transition because we are trying to replenish it with information about a number of these federal issues that are being dealt with by Congress right now and some of the federal regulatory agencies and stand to have a significant impact on current property owners and on the ability of folks who aren't currently owners to be able to achieve the American dream. So VirginiaHomeownersAlliance.com, VAHomeownersAlliance.com is a good place for you to find information on your local community. We also have a Facebook presence, and if you look up VA Homeowners Alliance on Facebook, you can like us and get information that way as well.
And, you know, that's great information. It's a great way for us to move toward the break and segue into what we want to talk about in the second half of the show, and that is in regards to the legislative things that are on our plate right now that could impact not only our industry from a realtor standpoint, but also, you know, homeowners in trying to buy sell their houses and purchasers trying to buy houses. And so we're going to take a quick break and let New American Mortgage and Classic Furniture share with you why you should be doing business with them. And after the break, I'll be back with Scott Bruner, the VAR CEO of the Virginia Realtor Virginia Association of Realtors, who's been there since 2005, not 11 years ago, but 6 years ago, and we'll see you after the break. Welcome back to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie. It's Saturday morning, WINA News Radio 1070. We're grateful to have you here today. Scott Bruner, the Virginia Association of Realtors Chief Executive Officer, has agreed to join me, and we've been chatting about what this association means both to realtors and consumers. And before the break, we were beginning to get into the whole aspect of what's going on legislatively. Talked a little bit about the VAHomeownersAlliance.com. And as that website transitions into a new and more pertinent sort of information source, I hope you'll go there and sign up, as well as the Facebook page that Scott talked about before the break. But Scott, let's just jump right into it. Let's talk about, you know, I'm just going to let you have it, and let's talk about some of the things that are, you know, on the horizon that we need to be facing and trying our best to have these things work in the way that will be good for homeowners and good for the realtor community.
Sure. Michael, the American dream of homeownership is under fire today, probably more than it has ever been. Some of this, of course, is the result of the economic downturn, some of the excesses that we saw in lending practices, et cetera. Unfortunately, the response at the federal level in particular has been to look for quick fixes, to attack on a number of levels some of the very real problems with solutions that we believe may well create more problems than they resolve. So, for instance, you have going on among congressmen a discussion about the mortgage interest deduction. And as we, you know, on August 2nd, the Congress voted to increase the debt limit, and that will go a long way toward reducing some of our spending. But we still have a debt problem that Congress is going to have to confront over the long term. Congress looks at $80 billion in mortgage interest deduction, and says, well, that's an easy source of money to help close the gap in the debt. But the mortgage interest deduction has been around since 1913. It is the cornerstone of the American housing economy. The National Association of Realtors research shows that just to meddle with mortgage interest deductibility, to cap it, to eliminate deductibility on second homes, or even worse, to eliminate it, would have a chilling effect on property values nationwide. In fact, research shows that to eliminate the mortgage interest deduction would immediately depreciate the value of all homes in the country by 15%. Now think about what an additional depreciation in value would do to a lot of marginal mortgage holders right now whose home value has already declined in this economic downturn, and then you're going to lop another 15% off. What does that do to local communities that are dependent on property taxes and those property assessments to maintain quality of life in the community, their firemen and their policemen and their hospitals and their libraries? And when those assessed values go down because the property value drops, then local governments are going to be looking at having to raise their millage rates, and it's a double whammy for consumers. So we're very concerned about a tax on mortgage interest deductibility. We believe that it is, as I've said, a cornerstone of the American dream of home ownership, and any changes to it need to be handled cautiously, and certainly not right now in what is just a very difficult time for the housing economy. But that's not the only thing we have staring us in the face. And when I say we, I'm talking about any of us who are property owners or even contemplating the idea of purchasing a home. Regulators, as a result of the Dodd-Frank legislation, have been directed to come up with proposals that would help keep banks from taking some of the unnecessary risk that they took in lending over the past several years. And they have created a proposal that they called QRM, a Qualified Residential Mortgage. When Congress passed Dodd-Frank, they said, we want you to help banks stop taking those unnecessary risks. They never talked about down payment, and yet the proposals from these federal regulatory agencies have basically said, we think that in order for a bank to be able to sell a mortgage on the secondary market, to be able to get it off their books and sell it, you have to have at least a 20% down payment. Never mind that research shows that down payment has very little to do with loan performance. What determines loan performance is the underwriting standards. Have they checked the income of the borrower? Have they dotted all their I's and crossed their T's in that underwriting process? And so what we're concerned about is if you require a 20% down payment, you're going to create sort of a Cadillac level of mortgages, where you're going to get better rates because the banks can sell those, and then for anything that's less than 20% down, the rates are going to be more. And so prospective home buyers are going to be faced with either saving for 9 or 10 or 12 years to have the 20% down on the median-priced home, or they're going to have to pay more in payments because they can't put their interest rates will be higher because they don't have that much to put down. So again, we're concerned that would have a significant chilling effect on property ownership. Fortunately, a number of members of Congress have awakened to this overreach by regulatory agencies. The rule is just a proposal now. A number of congressmen, including a number from Virginia, have stepped up and said, this is not what we intended when we passed Dodd-Frank. You need to step back and do what we ask you to do and not overreach in a way that's going to hurt the housing economy even more. Another issue that your listeners have probably heard a lot about is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, those government entities that buy guarantee mortgages and buy mortgages on the secondary market. Absolutely, any reasonable person would have to say that there must be reforms to those entities because a lot of their practices brought us to the economic precipice that we've been on for the past two or three years. And yet, we're concerned that Congress may overreach. We're concerned about what happens in an economic downturn. In an economic downturn, private capital runs to the sidelines. The only thing that has allowed Americans to continue to buy and sell homes over the past three or so years during this economic downturn has been the fact there's been an implicit government guarantee of mortgage capital. And so, yes, Fannie and Freddie reform, but we believe there must continue to be some implicit government guarantee in economic downturns or times of catastrophic occurrences like we've seen, so that there can continue to be a flow of mortgage capital. We're also seeing a proposal from the Obama administration to increase the down payment on FHA loans from 3.5% to 5%. We've already seen increases in the mortgage insurance premiums. The New York Times reported a few weeks ago that on a $400,000 house, which is above the median in Virginia, granted, but on a $400,000 house, that increase in the mortgage insurance premium would add another $83 a month to the house payment. And then we have proposals that would reduce the FHA loan limits. In fact, September 30th of this year, unless Congress takes action, loan limits will drop across the country. And this is further going to curtail the ability of average Americans to be able to get an attractive rate on a mortgage that they can afford. And so these are the sorts of issues that the Realtor Organization is working on. We're working with our congressional delegation. We're working through our National Association of Realtors. But honestly, realtors only survive as a profession to the extent that they can serve their customers and clients and get them in and out of homes in the manner that that those consumers want to be served. And so we're terribly concerned about a number of these federal issues. And that's just a taste. There are actually about 20 different regulations or pieces of legislation that are affecting property ownership right now, but those are the big ticket items.
Well, we're going to have to follow up with this in the next couple months with you, because even with the federal things and all the things, the reason I didn't stop you is every one of those is so pertinent and so important for folks to understand and to follow. But there are a number of things that are pressing from a local standpoint and a statewide standpoint that we'll have to get to another time. But unfortunately, our time's up. And Scott, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show today. I hope you have a great weekend. And we'll get you back on the show as we follow up on these things in the future.
Thanks, Michael. It was a real pleasure.
Folks, our time is up. We thank you for yours. Have a great weekend. Take care. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you for the opportunity. I hope I did what you needed.
No, it's perfect. And what I'm going to do, Scott, is this will go on the air, whatever that is, the 13th of August.
Yeah.
And then Monday or Tuesday of the following week, it gets posted at WINA on the podcast. And, I'll get it on my Facebook and everything. But I'll also send it to you via email.
That'd be great. Yeah, I'd like to have it. We track all that here at the UR, so that'd be good to have.
Exactly. All right, my friend. Have a great day.
All right. Take care.
Bye.